Welcome back, WNST, Taos of Baltimore and Baltimore Positive. Big shout out to all of our friends allowing us to have these wise conversations that we have. Make sure you're getting out to Wise Markets. Get a little barbecue. I had Tim on this week, a Patapsco guy, no less. Showing me how to barbecue. So we're going to rub our meats up right, get some seafood, get some rockfish. Certainly working the crab cake and the Maryland and the local crab cake. Going to start the tour at Fadley's this week with John Sarbanes as well as Damian Nancy. We're going to talk about the history of the crab cake in the Bay. I'm going to be beginning that tour. I'm going over to Costas for their 50th anniversary and honoring them. So two of the premier crab cakes, they can both be shipped to you. If you're in the mood for one, get in the car, come down and pick them up. Go out to Costas, get some crabs like I did last week. Tis the season for crab cake chatter. Luke Jones joins us now. I'm wearing my Chicken Palooza shirt. I feel celebratory. You know, I've got my celebratory Ravens picture. Now, Luke, this picture is – I literally took this the minute all the bombs went off inside when you were the only one in the stadium, you and the Chiefs and the Ravens, right? So this was last year from my condo. Literally, this is where I live. So, I took this picture. And the only reason it exists is I've never seen the bombs go off in the stadium other than maybe the Jay-Z concert because I wasn't at the Jay-Z concert. But – I mean, I'm always inside of it. So this was a celebratory thing. I must admit that when the Raiders thing leaked early in the morning, I was a little like, is that real? Is that good? Is that bad? I embraced the Ravens schedule, bro. You know me. I attack it with the enthusiasm unknown to mankind when it comes to, are we going to have a pool party in Vegas? How are we getting to Detroit? What are we thinking about in Chicago? Look at that Denver trip. Look at the bye week on Halloween. How are you, man? A big Wednesday night for those of us who love football and love people in our lives with weddings, bar mitzvahs, plans, parties, all of that kind of stuff for the fall. I think I'm going to go to a football game this year, Luke.
Yeah, that sounds good. And I think it really is the latter, at least for me. I mean, we know the opponents. We know all of the opponents or most of the opponents other than what, three now, two or three, if you're counting the 17th game. I'm not exactly sure how that formula is going to work moving forward, but we know most of the opponents ahead of time, years ahead of time. But for anyone who both loves football but also prioritizes other things in their lives as well, it gives you context, right? It gives you a framework for what the fall is going to look like. Yeah, there are a few other things. Sure. Yeah.
Well, you know what's funny? When the schedule came out, everybody's hitting me about trips and stuff like that, and I am – when all the fake schedules are coming out during the day, I'm like, the Lions and the Tigers are both playing at the same time. So I started to look at different things like that. And I looked at, whether concerts would exist. Are you a Bill Burr fan, comedian? You love comedy, right, Bill Burr?
Yeah, sure.
He's playing Red Rocks the weekend the Ravens are in. Like, those are the kinds of things I'm looking at around these things. And Vegas, is Vegas going to be open? Oh, my God, Vegas is expensive. Not just the tickets to the game. I mean, they're opening their stadium. They're welcoming a franchise on the back end of a pandemic. It's not just any franchise. It's a worldwide franchise like the Raiders, where people are going to be flying from everywhere. Vegas is going to be – to quote a partner, my friend Kenny Mayne, en fuego, I would think the first weekend. But I'm just excited that the Chiefs game, I'm starting to think about, oh, I have tickets for that. Like, okay, I guess we'll all be there. Maybe that'll be the first. I talk so much about that beer at Merriweather. Maybe that'll be the first really normal thing that happens will be the Chiefs game. Maybe there'll really be 68,000 people there. The real Patrick Mahomes will be there. The real Lamar Jackson will be there. Maybe that'll be cathartic for all of us who go to football games. We're all looking for something that feels cathartic beyond, ouch, that hurt. And cry, I've been sick all night. That's pretty much where all of us have been, right?
Yeah. I think, especially with Kansas City, now we can get into the football side of the timing of that, because I think it's interesting when you talk about the turnover at outside linebacker for the Ravens, talking so much about the lack of a four-man rush and how that's doomed them against Kansas City. On the flip side, the Chiefs, brand new, almost brand spanking new offensive line when you look at the turnover there.
And look out.
Yeah, sure. So some gelling that needs to go on there with both sides. But there is something cathartic about the fact that last year, week three, Monday night game in Baltimore, a rare Monday night home game that we've talked about, you know, as much as I haven't viewed that as big a deal as some people, because Monday night football is not the marquee game anymore the way that it was 30 years ago. But the fact that the Ravens were welcoming the Chiefs in, and what, it was 250 family members of the Ravens organization there, and that's it. And the atmosphere wasn't what it would be, stating the obvious. And the Ravens got the butt kicked.
Good though, didn't it?
I mean, yeah, it looked. Oh, sure. It looked good, and then they kicked off, and it wasn't so good for the Ravens. But I think there's something to be said for the Ravens, but I think more so for the city, for this community, for a game of that magnitude early in the season to be taking place, and for it to be the home opener in a opening month where the Ravens play three of their first four on the road. That's exciting.
Can we bring Keith Urban back and have him play to Harvard? Can we do that again or something? Can we cancel the Oriole game that night? I want to go hug someone. You know, I mean, I need a celebration of some kind. So it does feel a little bit like people will be gathered. The lights will be on in Baltimore, especially if we beat the Raiders, right? If you beat the Raiders week one, you come back 1-0, if that happens, right? And that's certainly not a given, right? You know, kick it off their whole deal. But if you come back, and who did Chiefs play week one? Who are they going to beat?
I think they play the Browns, don't they?
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that, but off the top of my head, I thought it was the Browns.
Maybe they're 1-0. Maybe the Browns soften them up for us or something, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's exciting. And again, as someone who was at all the home games last season, one of the few who was there for all the home games, it wasn't the same.
Did you miss me?
Well, you and 71,000 other friends.
You missed me there in the fourth quarter, pestering you when you're trying to get alignments and figure out who's on the field.
But I just think
when it's all done and I'm dead and gone, and you write the book, you know, and you're Oprah, and it's all over, you'll say, God, he drove me nuts in the fourth quarter of home game. Yeah. I mean, it was so much better during the plague. You know, I saw the game better, you know, without him eating nachos next to me in the fourth quarter. And
not even a little. I mean, it really,
like Section 513.
As much as you and I reflected on 2020 and how the football season, outbreak game aside, still felt pretty normal from a TV presentation standpoint, from a gameplay standpoint, when you were in the stadium, and you can attest to this gone to Houston.
It was the spookiest thing I've ever been in. It was like a horror movie.
Well, I mean, what it felt like was being on the backfield at Owings Mills in October when they're just going through a Wednesday practice and there's no fanfare or anything like that.
When it's empty for the purple white and, like, you know, and all of that, and even the press box, but we're in shorts. There's nobody around. There's no attendance. You were behind glass too, right? I mean, in Houston, I was on the moon.
Yeah.
At the Redskins game, I'm in the corner, you know, and you're behind home plate essentially in a football stage. Weird. And Dan Snyder, by the way, nice job, John Moog. You owe me lobster or Korean barbecue or something. We went through that privately. I'll get back onto the air now. But the Philadelphia game, that was even the weirder part, where there were like a handful of fans. And I felt sorry for the fans. It felt like they were like sort of weird, high-cost accessories. And it couldn't have been all that much fun to be looking around and not have anybody to high-five. Meanwhile, I'm behind glass. I don't know what it was like out in the bowl. That's one of the weird things I never did. I mean, you're doing more of that with Oriole baseball last year, right, with the mask on and all that, the crack of the bat and the emptiness and all of that. It feels like maybe like that White Sox game when the tanks were circling the stadium and they shouldn't have played. Maybe it's an ancient memory now. Like, maybe we'll never, you know, maybe we it's over in that way, right? We're all trying to find that.
Oh, we certainly hope so. And I can tell you, having, you know, covered Orioles games this year, where it's not 46,000, of course, but there are at least several thousand people
there.
Does it
feel like a ball game, or does it feel like spring training?
I was talking with some media members probably during the first homestand about this. The difference between, and I've covered plenty of Orioles games where it's been low attendance, so I mean, let's call a spade a spade. But I'm talking specifically when non-pandemic times.
You're the guy at 1:13 a.m. in the eighth inning after a 2.5 hour rain delay. I mean, you've been there for that.
Sure. But the difference between no fans in the ballpark and having a few thousand at least is that is so much different than even trying to compare 8,000 in the ballpark compared to 40,000. And I think the difference from going from none to at least a few thousand, it's bigger. Like it makes that much of a difference compared to just be sitting there in silence. Yeah, when there's 45,000 there, there is a much more audible buzz. And of course, it gets loud for the big moments, Delman Young's double, et cetera. But just in those experiences, having even just a few thousand fans, boy, it makes a difference. And I would even say, I mean, the one game where the Ravens had that, which was against Pittsburgh last year, Lamar Jackson pick six aside, much more of an atmosphere. And the players talked about that a lot compared to the other home games that had either just some family members or no one. So it's going to make a big difference. And all signs at this point trending, moving toward, yeah, having a full stadium. And of course, no one can tell the future with 100% certainty, but it looks like we're moving in that direction as we're hearing more and more restrictions being lifted here in the coming days and weeks. But it's exciting to think about that. And then, oh yeah, you're talking about a football team that has won 25 games the last 2 years and should be right there with Kansas City, Buffalo, whoever else you want to throw in that conversation. Cleveland, Miami, we'll see about Tua's development as a quarterback. I think the Chargers are interesting with Justin Herbert, with the year he had as a rookie, considering the limitations with the pandemic and what that meant for player development. I think you look at the schedule. I mean, one thing we haven't talked a whole lot about, but when you see it laid out, it's a tough schedule. I think the saving grace for the Ravens is that most of the tough games are at home, not counting trips to Pittsburgh and Cleveland, of course. And as I mentioned, Miami could be a tricky trip for a Thursday night game. But you look at this strictly going off of last year's winning percentage, Ravens have the second most difficult schedule in the league. Now, that's not the only measure you go off of. And if you look at some analytics sites like Warren Sharp, where they kind of look at projecting what teams are going to look like in 2021, he had the Ravens, I think, as the 10th most difficult schedule. But point is, it is going to be a challenge when you look at what they're going to be dealing with early on in the season. Yeah, those three road games aren't intimidating type trips, but it's still three out of the first four on the road, and you're playing Kansas City at home. So you need to come out of that first quarter of the schedule, come out of the gate strong, because you don't want to be in a position where you're 2-2 or and then going into kind of getting into the meat of the schedule. So if you get through
it's
that
a strange first, schedule, like
it really is.
It's really like I have it up for everybody watching out on our right. YouTube, just to look down and see that blob, from October 11th through November 11th, where they don't leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that feels like one of those stretches where you look at those four games and say, man, if you could win your home games, you know what I mean? Even if you lose the Chiefs game early on, the road games are always difficult for me, but I think road and Lamar's different because of the way they play. It feels differently. I'm actually doing something this week, Luke, and it'll be on the air next week. University of Delaware Magazine is doing a big piece on Joe Flacco.
Okay.
And they've reached to me and they're going to talk to Joe eventually, but they reached to me because they've seen all these videos of you and me out on the internet with Joe, and they see how comfortable we were with Joe.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe didn't sit down with anybody like that here. Right. And, for hours, literally with Joe, right. Before Jen got sick, after Super Bowl, he's sort of this pimply faced kid. It's crazy to look back at these videos from him in Dallas in 2008 and 9. So I'm doing that. And when I saw the schedules during the Flacco era, it was always like, man, we don't run the ball on the road. We don't play well. Everything about the road was different. I think it's different when I think of the road now and I think of Lamar, freight training, Eric Weddle and that punk they dealt from the Jacksonville mouthing off at the end of the game. Like, after losing 51-7 or whatever, I think about breaking ankles in Cincinnati a couple of years. I think about these road highlights of Lamar, and I think, they didn't lose because they were in Buffalo. They lost because they didn't play well in Buffalo. But I'm not of the mindset that they can't win on the road, or that I look at Miami or Chicago. Or I even looked at the Pittsburgh game, and I thought, late in the day, You know what I thought with Pittsburgh? Because you and I are always together in Pittsburgh, eating Mr. Rooney's cookies. I thought, are we going to bus up? Are we going to fly up? We'll probably drive up. It's a 4 o'clock game. Luke and I will get in the car. You know, we'll gas up at Rofo. We'll stop at Breezewood. We'll, you know, get some wings. It's a late game. We'll get up there by 1 o'clock to watch it. So I'm trying to, like, in my mind, stage all of these things to figure out where I'm going to be. And that's what Harbaugh does. That's what DaCosta famously says. He looks at the late schedule, right? So if he looks at the late schedule, he's going to be pretty happy playing 3 out of 4 at home, right? And this 18th week where you have a January 9th game, I'm thinking, well, some snow and the Steelers, that might be fun. Then I look and I'm like, every game after Halloween is a flex game. So let's stay with that. So, like, I have no idea when or when these games are going to be played, but I thought, I wonder if that Steelers game will mean anything, or whether the division will mean anything, or whether it'll get flexed to 4 o'clock, because it'll have to be. I get excited about the schedule. You know that. And I start calling hotels, and I start thinking, like, if we did a bus to Detroit, we could stop at the Hall of Fame in Canton, right? It's just the way I think about this stuff. But do you have any, like, travel thoughts about any of this? Because it's weird playing in Detroit. You were in Chicago when the friggin' tornado came 8 years ago. So I guess it dates our relationship now that we've been through two cycles of Chicago, right?
Right, right. I mean, I'll say this. I don't – Las Vegas, obviously. Ravens fans have never been there for a football game. It's the Raiders opening their new stadium. I mean,
that's why I think nobody's going to go to Detroit or Miami. I just think, well, like, and that's, people are going to go all in on Vegas like it's a Super Bowl.
I mean, Miami in November, Thursday, you make it a 4-day weekend. I think there's some appeal to that, but
you get that great quality of football you'll get on Thursday night too.
Well, but at the same time, this is a different Miami team than the Ravens saw 2 years ago. I mean, again, does Tua take a meaningful step forward? If he does, that roster's really young and really, really talented. So I think you could, if there's a team in the AFC that could take that Buffalo-like jump that the Bills did last year, it could be Miami. It could be the Chargers. You know, when you look at how those teams are kind of configured, but you know, you look at the road schedule. This is what I was saying a little bit earlier in our conversation. The tough games on this schedule, most of them take place at home. I mean, and that's where you hope that pays off for the Ravens. Although to your point, I mean, the Ravens have lost 3 road games over the last 2 years. Last year, what did home road mean? It's tough to say, but the point is, the Ravens have played well on the road. They lost 1 road game 2 years ago. So it really does speak to, you know, how good they are. Their style of play seeming to travel well when you run the ball and then you play good defense. That's going to play against most teams on the road. So, you know, but looking at the road schedule, I'm not all that lathered up about Detroit. As much as anything, the Lions are god awful. I mean, even for their standards, they're probably going to be really, really bad.
That's the winnable road. You know, that's yeah. Where you look at this and say, you get some momentum before these home games, you could be 7-1. Sure. And I don't want to talk
no question
like that. But and if you're that, then you're on pace to do the things you want to do. Stub your toe against the Raiders, come home, lose to the Chiefs again. Whoa! All of a sudden, Detroit and Denver are road games that you're just trying to get level set. So that's another way of looking at this thing. Is that Raiders game is the trap game, right? It's the last game all weekend. You wait, you wait, you watch. Thursday night feels like a month ago after they kick off and Brady does his whole thing and Jerry comes in and all. You just be careful with that Raiders game. Win that game and you set yourself into a different place, because you better not lose to the Lions. You probably better not lose to the Broncos, right?
Sure, sure. And just if you do go to Las Vegas Monday night, and look, they're going to be lathered up. I mean, they did not have any fans in that stadium last year. I mean, Davis,
$500 to get in.
The Davis family was very adamant about, you know, even if they had local regulations that would have allowed for some fans, they didn't want to have a partial capacity. They wanted a full house. And by all signs pointing to them having that, it's going to be a great atmosphere for them. But the idea of, if you go out there and lose and then you come home and you're playing Kansas City, Ravens 3 years in a row, they've lost to the Chiefs. You don't want to be in a position where you're playing a Sunday night primetime game and you're facing the prospects of going 0-2 to start the year. You can recover, of course, but I think you said it, and I totally agree. This schedule lays out nicely for the Ravens to be able to start potentially 6-1, 7-1, something along those lines. And they kind of need to be in that territory because all the AFC North games, other than the Cincinnati game in late October, take place after Thanksgiving. And I think we're all expecting Cleveland to be right there. I think Pittsburgh, it's going to depend on what Ben Roethlisberger looks like, but they still have plenty of talent. So
how do you feel about the league stacking these things up at the end? I mean, I don't mind it. I mean, I've always felt like if you're going to play these teams twice, playing them twice within 3 weeks is not ideal. You know what I mean? Like, we play the Browns twice in 3 weeks. It's not ideal for either franchise based on how their quarterback feels in week 11 as to how that's going to turn for their season. It almost feels a little unfair. I mean, I if they're going to do it in a balanced way, I think you should see your rivals in the first and fourth quartile. You know what I mean? Like in the beginning and the end. But I know it doesn't work that way, but I'm looking at this backloaded and I'm thinking, if the Ravens are the last one standing with the healthy quarterback, they'll run the table on this. If they're scuffling, they'll get bounced out of the playoffs if they lose three out of four to the Steelers and the Browns in the last 6 weeks of the season, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just that's why it's so critical for them to play so well early in the season. I think looking at last year's scenario, and of course, the pandemic outbreak, the COVID outbreak was a big part of that. But they had a tough schedule in November, and we talked about the trips to New England and Indy and what they went through there. But we know those last five games, with the exception of the Cleveland road game, which was, of course, the classic Monday night game with Lamar coming out of the locker room, that was a pretty advantageous month of December for them last year. Let's call a spade a spade. And I know Eric DaCosta recently was talking about that as when you look at the schedule, you look at December and you look at the Ravens. And I agree with you about the divisional aspect of that. I don't love playing that many divisional games in a very short period of time. I think the whole situation where you're playing the Browns twice in 3 weeks, that's weird on the Ravens side. And then, oh yeah, you have a trip to Pittsburgh sandwiched between those two games. But how about the Browns? They play the Ravens, they have their bye week, and then they play the Ravens again. That's the first time that's happened in the NFL since 1991. I saw a statistic. So it is a very strange schedule in that way. But I guess for me, health is always of the utmost importance. We don't need to belabor that point. But I think when you are talking about five of your six division games taking place after Thanksgiving, that late season health is going to be even more important because those games are going to be really important. Because as much as I am very high on the Ravens, and if you're asking me who's going to win the division, I'm picking the Ravens at this point in time. I like Cleveland a lot still, and I think they did a lot to revamp their defense, which was their Achilles heel last year. As much as I'm not as high on Pittsburgh, I'm certainly not writing them off. I've seen that movie before as well. So the point is, you want to be healthy and have your players available in December because, boy, all these AFC North games taking place at that point in time, it's going to make this division feel a little more wide open than maybe it's felt over the last couple of years, where you look at how Pittsburgh started last year. When you look at how the Ravens played 2 years ago, of course, the AFC North was all but decided, all but determined by, dare I say, Thanksgiving, somewhere around there. That's not going to be the case this year, I don't think. So it really does speak to how much more important health is going to be. And then you come back to the idea of 17 games rather than 16, one more week of potential injury attrition that we knew the league was going to go to 17 games. I'm guessing at some point, you know, it might take another 10 years. They'll go to 18 because the owners will want that to happen. And the players union probably won't fight it, you know, for various reasons, but it is, you know, you do look at that final 6-7 weeks. I mean, look at it starting with Miami and you go down the list. Miami didn't make the playoffs last year, but they had a record that was deserving of a playoff spot. What, they're 10-6. The Bears, you know, they made it at 8-8. We'll see what their quarterback situation looks like by then. But then you go Cleveland at Pittsburgh at Cleveland, Green Bay, assuming Aaron Rodgers is still a Packer by then, which we'll see how that plays out in the coming weeks, at Cincinnati, which, okay, no big sweat there, although that's a young team. Maybe they're playing much better football late in the season if they figure out a way to protect Joe Burrow. And then you finish a year against the Rams, who feel that Matthew Stafford's the missing piece for a championship caliber roster. And then who knows what happens with Pittsburgh. And that game could get flexed to Saturday. That game could get flexed to Sunday night. I think there's three flex possibilities that final weekend. So that was one thing I thought was strange, though. You know, kind of bringing it back to kind of some big picture ideas with this schedule. How about the fact, second time in 3 years, Ravens Steelers, neither game scheduled for primetime. And prior to the last 3 years where that's happened twice, you had to go back to 2006 for that to happen.
Well, it's, I mean, it's like the Redskins Cowboys, you know.
I feel like it's not
becomes interesting because of Willis Reed last year, right?
No question. I think Browns, and even though they're not on the schedule right now, Ravens Titans feels hotter right now. I mean, especially if those teams happen to run into each other in the postseason. But it is interesting to kind of look at Ravens Steelers and look. You just said it. You know, comparing it to Washington Dallas, it's a legacy rivalry at this point. I mean, when you have a rivalry that's burned that hot for two decades, it's going to last. It's going to endure. They're division rivals. But, and I think it hasn't been helped by the fact that Ben Roethlisberger and Lamar have only faced off once, when you consider him, Roethlisberger being hurt 2 years ago and Lamar not playing in the second meeting last year because of COVID. It does feel like that rivalry, it's not one of the red hot rivalries in the NFL anymore. And who knows? Maybe Juju Smith-Schuster spurning the Ravens to re-sign with Pittsburgh, and maybe Alejandro Villanueva leaving Pittsburgh to sign with the Ravens, and he was throwing some shade on Juju last week. You know, maybe that pumps up the rivalry a little bit more, gets a little more juice into it. But it is definitely strange to look at five primetime games, and none of them are against the Steelers. If that doesn't tell you, one, Lamar Jackson, for all of his vocal critics, has a lot of fans around the league. I mean, let's just state the obvious there. And two,
Luke, I saw them selling Lamar Jackson jerseys out in front of the LA Memorial Coliseum. Yeah. And they weren't Ravens fans buying them. They were people in LA who like football, who like Lamar.
Yeah. So,
and like the way the Ravens play. And they probably liked Ray Lewis too. You know what I mean? And we win a lot around here, and purple's a better color than green or orange or you know what I mean? So like, this is the growth place for the franchise in Lamar. But to your point, go out, stub your toe, walk out of the playoffs week one again. At some point, it's got to manifest itself into getting back to LA to win a Super Bowl.
No question about it. But the fact that five primetime games, none of them against the Steelers, it speaks to Lamar being the star that he is. And it's different. You know, it's one thing when you're talking about Ray Lewis or Ed Reed, who are Hall of Famers, of course. I mean, you're talking about the two greatest players in franchise history along with Jonathan Ogden, but none of those positions are the quarterback position. So when you have a star, and apologies to Joe Flacco, who, hey, he was a Super Bowl MVP. That's something Lamar Jackson has not done to this point in his career. But when you have a star MVP caliber quarterback, that is going to resonate, and that's going to put you on the short list of teams that are going to get the maximum number of primetime games. So it is interesting to see that. And I think it does reflect the amount of respect Lamar does get, even though his biggest critics are vocal. And it really speaks to the Ravens having won 25 games over the last 2 years. But to your point, now's the time to take the next step for them to play deeper into January. And I think this schedule is certainly challenging, especially the home stretch of it, where you get down to the last 6 or 7 weeks, you're playing all these division games and teams that were in the postseason last year. But I think as it lays out, you know, the Ravens can really lay the groundwork with a good start to put themselves in position to not just make the playoffs with a 7-team playoff field, which we saw clearly makes a path to January a little bit easier, but also to put themselves in position to win this division. Because again, you look at that early schedule. Yes, I understand 3 out of 4 on the road, and I'm not being, you know, disparaging of that, but at Las Vegas, at Detroit, at Denver, we're not talking about juggernauts here. We're talking about teams that are in transition. I mean, the Raiders, okay, they're all right. Detroit is completely rebuilding at this point, and you know, we'll see what happens with Jared Goff there. And Denver, well, you know, I like other aspects of their roster until they have a quarterback. And who knows, maybe, you know, there've been some Aaron Rodgers to Denver rumors at various points.
I look at both of them on the schedule. I'm like, where's Aaron Rodgers going to be this year?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Is he coming to Baltimore in December, or will he be playing for somebody else and totally changing the dynamic in the same way that Tom Brady going to Tampa? I mean, look at the Buccaneers under Jameis Winston. everyone saw they had a talented roster, but when your quarterback's throwing 30 interceptions, well, there you go. I mean, you're in a position where you're not going to win enough. You're not going to win nearly enough, but you get a quarterback, it changes everything. So it's going to be interesting in that way. But yeah, I was thinking back to 2 years ago. Remember, a symmetric, balanced, away, home, all the way through 16 games. This schedule is nothing like that when you're talking about 3 out of 4 on the road, 4 straight at home, counting throwing a bye week in the midst of that, and then 4 of the next 5 after that on the road. I mean, it definitely has its stretches where you can get comfortable and unpack the suitcase and leave it unpacked for a while, but some other stretches where you're going to be on the road a lot. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And you know, I think one of the weirder things about looking at the schedule on Wednesday night was thinking in terms of no longer saying, are they going to go 12-4, 11-5, 13-3? Now it's 13-4, 12-5. It's very, very strange, very in that way.
I said that last week. I started thinking about that, and I'm like, man, I've been saying that a long time. But I remember when I was a kid, you know, it was 10-4.
You know what I mean? You get used to it. You get used to it. As I said, I mean, that part of it, I'll get used to it. But I do think of
when you get used to 142 baseball games too. You know, wait till that happens.
Right. But there is a part of me though that looks at injury attrition though, and we can remember years. I mean, even years where the Ravens had great seasons. I mean, think of Harbaugh's first season; they get to the AFC Championship. But go back and look at the injuries that team. You know, some of these teams dealt with at various times, and guys they lost for the season, or guys you lose in December. You're adding another week to that now. You know, you're finishing the regular season on January 9th. I mean, that's, you know, you really think about that. I mean, what is the state of these various rosters going to be? I think that's going to be an interesting question. And that's why I said that's such a fascinating variable to weigh when you're looking at how the AFC North plays out. I mean, it's one thing to play Pittsburgh in September when theoretically both teams are healthy, although, you know, Pittsburgh lost Big Ben 2 years ago, week 2, week 3, whatever it was. But for the most part, you're healthy in September and October. So you know, what these teams look like in December, it's going to be really fascinating. And you know, I expect this to be a good division race. I still think more Ravens-Browns duking it out, and Pittsburgh maybe, you know, a step below them. You know, Cincinnati,
the Browns won't make the playoffs. I'm going to tell you right now.
I'm not crowning them in the way you're hearing some of the national media crown them, but they went 11-5 and won a playoff game just like the Ravens did last year. I mean, at some point in time.
Oh, believe me. I get enough friends from Cleveland. They tell me.
Sure. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting. What, they're going to have 9 new starters on defense. You know, so how does that play? Because look at the 2 games they lost to the Ravens last year. I mean, the Ravens just throttled them. You know, they scored so many points against Cleveland. That was the one thing the Browns, that was their Achilles heel last year, their defense. So we'll see. If some of the draft picks they made, some of the signings they made to beef up their defensive line.
I don't like them all of a sudden. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I used to get on a plane. We go out there. Yeah. We have some fun. We have a few beers. We get some barbecue. You know, we win 34 to whatever. And, you know, sometimes it's a little harder. You know, sometimes the fourth quarter you get a little nervous or whatever. But I'm still not of the mindset that they've arrived. I've seen their ownership. You know what I mean? And I don't think that quarterback's stable. You know, and look, I've had our own issues with our quarterback, thinking like, is this long term? But it's now term. And I'll take my guy against that kid. I will. I'm happy we have Lamar. I'm happy we didn't have the Baker Mayfield thing here and all that. That's okay. I'll live with it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I don't dislike Baker Mayfield as much as you, but for me, it's just more so I'm not sure if he's that caliber of quarterback that when you get to the point where you have to pay him, if that's going to work out well for them. So, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how that looks for them the next couple of years. I mean, could they be a team that shocks everyone and trades for Aaron Rodgers? I doubt it. I'm just throwing it out there just to have fun with it. Part of me wants them to be good though over the next few years, because Ben Roethlisberger is going to be gone soon. Let's call a spade there. But good, but at the same time, it's not.
I want us to be good and dominant. I want to cheat like the Patriots. I want to win multiple rings. I want to have Lamar throw the Lombardi Trophy.
But do you want?
Go ahead.
I understand, but do you want the AFC? Do you want the AFC North to become the AFC East? I don't. I mean. There's a long way to go until January. You know, there's quite a journey.
Don't wish like good things for the enemy right now. All right.
I'm not wishing good things for the enemy. I'm saying you want some rivals though. Having six division games that would stink every year. Like,
I want to
okay,
go 6-0 in the division.
Then you become complacent like a Patriots fan all those years who didn't care about the regular season. And
I've had too disinterested many long rush back from Pittsburgh and Cincinnati.
More I want good games. And maybe this is more the reporter in me. I want good games. I want competitive games. I don't want winning by four touchdowns every week. I like good games. And again, that's probably more the reporter and leaving more Luke the fan behind. But you know, I want Cleveland to be good because I think Pittsburgh's on the decline at this point.
Yeah, man.
That's what I'm talking.
Saying that for 20 years, dude. I said that when Bettis.
Oh, but Ben Roethlisberger. Right. When Ben Roethlisberger leaves, though, that's the difference. You know, I mean, it's one thing to count him out when Ben's 33, but now he's at a point where he's in his late 30s and doesn't look like he can throw the ball with any zip anymore.
Maybe they
and,
want Aaron Rodgers. There's something to think about, right?
Don't laugh
when you come back in July. All right, you know. I mean,
That would be surprising.
January 9th, we play the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay. Let's just see where we are then. Okay. Let's see where they are and where we are. And if they're, they would be 5-11 by then.
No, I don't think they're going to be that bad. I think it's going to be Ravens and Browns duking it out for the division. And I think Pittsburgh's going to be more scratching and clawing for maybe getting that last wild card spot.
That's my early prediction.
Yeah. I know, right? Jeff Fisher is so disappointed. You can't be 8-8 or 7-9 anymore. You know, that doesn't work. It's going to be 8-9 or 7-10 or yeah.
All right, go watch some baseball. You got a nice hat on there. Are you Donatello, Raphael, Leonardo, what was your guy?
Raphael was always my guy. Sarcasm, you know. And I like the color red. I don't know. The mind of 7-year-old Luke Jones, who knows.
I met the real Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles with you, and it's kind of like meeting the real.
And I got a picture if you remember. It was a big deal.
He is Luke Jones. We have wise conversations around here for the most part. I would encourage everyone to round up for Paws for Pets this month. I had Julianne on from Wise. I got my cat up on my lap, taking care of the animals around here and our friends at Wise, as always. And fresh produce. I'll be talking about that next week as well. I am Nestor. We are WNST.net, AM 1570. Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore, positive.